Oh, well, I hope that's the Three Stooges I ordered. Hiya. Sorry, it's just me. The other fellas couldn't make it.
Then who is this?
Oh, we're not together.
Well, come in out of the rain.
What a creepy joint.
It's spooky, all right.
It's a haunted mansion. What did you expect? Anyway, I'm leaving you two here in charge while I go get some candy.
But that's not why I'm here.
I'll be. Will you look at that eerie painting? It's making my skin crawl.
I'm with you.
Well, not for long. I ain't sticking around to have some ghost make a mincemeat skeleton pie out of me. I'll be seeing you.
Well, wait a minute. Don't leave me alone.
I doubt you're alone.
And he was right and I was wrong. And he was right as well. Alone I was in tombs of tombs entombed in such a hell. The walls closed in like things that moved, like trees that had some feet. I looked around and smelled the smell of sour and of sweet.
A candy shop, it stood nearby, and next to it, some vinegar. My sister wore some pants that day, and what? Vinegar. Vinegar. Give me 2 seconds.
Ooh. The gloom fell down upon the valley, and all the ghosts were there. The graves emptied up out of them, and everything that was in there.
I can't think today. I'm having a hard time freestyling horror. But I would like to welcome you to Halloween, a time when we let the dead roam the earth. And I would like to share with you some scary things. Now, when you really scare people on Halloween, they say, "Now, come on, you're scaring me." Well, it's Halloween. They don't really like to be scared or terrified. And sometimes you can really say, "Oh, I don't know, test me." Well, we'll see. It's like, you know, you think you've been scared. Oh, my goodness, I think the universe has something in store for you. Who knows what's behind those doors? That's what it's like. You think you're the scary one wearing the costume, and then the door opens, and there's the homeowner. And who is the homeowner? Well, that could be the creator. Or who knows what kind of universe we're living in and what kind of demons lurk. And that's what I want to talk about today, is being in a scary, spooky house with you where there was a murder here once. When? Oh, yesterday. What? Well, how much time needs to pass for it to just simply be macabre? What if I was to tell you they hadn't really had stuff cleaned up yet? Oh, well, now it's not so good. It's too fresh. So I would say that, like that, scary stuff is different than pork or something like that that needs to be fresh. I'm trying to think of something that needs to be fresh. Cheese doesn't. They have pulled cheese out of the tombs of pharaohs. And yes, people have died and it's been cursed for generations afterwards. But generally, you can eat it. There's no reason you can't. And they knew that when the pharaohs put it in there. Did you know Samuel, we would call him in the United States, we would call him Pee-Pees. But I think they call him like Peeps or something like that. But that's not how he spells it. But he was, what was Samuel Pee-Pees or Peeps or whatever you want to think his name was. He was a diarist. What? He did a diary. And now it doesn't sound right, like I'm saying it right. Diary. Now that didn't sound right, but I guess that's it. Ooh. Well, he did one of those. That's where the expression comes to write too much. You're diarying. And that's what he did. And he would write things down that he did. And I can't believe anybody being interested, but I suppose they were. And he wrote down things that happened around him. Maybe then that's good. I like things like that, like people write things down like that. There used to be a shoe repair shop there. It's gone now, and you wouldn't know it if I didn't tell you. And this is true. And that was, so we have to, things have to be remembered or they're forgotten. And so he wrote these things down. Now, when the fire of London, the great fire of London, not the little mini fires that they've had, the great, they've had several great, I don't know how many great fires, but this was the one in, and they should have seen it coming a mile away, 1666. See, it's gone, it can't be a good year. Everybody thought it was going to be 2000. He goes, that sounds fun. But 1666, you saw it coming. It's, right? So, fire, or maybe Londoners didn't. The rest of the world said, we didn't have a fire. What does that tell you? So, they, you know who set those fires? Christopher Wren. I'll get into that in a minute. But, so the fires are coming, and Samuel Pepys, he says, I got this cheese. I got a big Parmesan cheese, and the corpse of somebody I killed, and I'm going to bury both of them. No, just the cheese. And the cheese, and he buried it as the fire encroached to save it. And that's where we get the baked, like baked brie or something. No, I think it was a big Parmesan wheel or something. I can't imagine how delicious that would have been after a whole, any recipe where you have to set a major city on fire, though, to do it, that's too much. That's always get recipes where you don't have to do is, one time I was like, I'm going to master choux pastry because I want eclairs. Well, first of all, they're not very good for you. And I didn't need to do this. But then I just ended up making a lot of poorly made eclairs, which then went on to ruin my health. So be so careful what you're out there doing, whether it's incantations to raise the dead on Halloween. Sometimes it's just fun. My friend and I, we used to do that sometimes. You live next to a cemetery and say, well, we have all these dead bodies and we got all these books of incantations. Let's just regularly run through some, because one time isn't going to do it. You got to find the right ones just to go out there on a sort of regular basis to where it becomes boring, even rote. It's really like if you've ever hunt Bigfoot, not hunt them. We don't want to hurt them. We just want to capture and kill them and test their DNA. But this is one of those things you just got to be patient. Oh, it's like ghosts. If you ever hunt, again, we're not hunting ghosts. Oh, my gosh. Now, if there are ghosts, come on, Hardy. Where do the souls of the dead go? Well, I don't know. If they go just to another dimension, a lot of people are convinced they can watch you use the potty. And people say, I'm worried about my grandparents are watching me use the potty. And I go, well, that's, you know, it isn't just them, by the way. If it's your grandparents, think about it. Think about all the people that are dead. You're probably pooping in like the middle of a crowd. It's like squatting at Woodstock. Just wall-to-wall ghosts. You can't see them because you're still in the realm of the living. And it's good for them. They're like, yeah, this is horrifying, but at least there's that barrier. Yes, the living dead barrier. So I know, right? But it's still to watch someone have to struggle with being alive and in a physical body is sometimes traumatic for the ghosts because they get spoiled. They have it so well. If you just fly in and out of things and between them, once you see, oh, look at that person, you know, having a hard time making or something like that. You feel badly for them. So I don't know how many are actually watching you use the potty, and I don't know if they are. Where the ghosts are, they're crowded at these those 70s adult hotels, crowded around. And they imply that in some of these ghost fiction where they speculate, what would ghosts be doing like if they were haunting and just watching you like that? I don't know. They look too good for. I think they'd be in their decaying bodies, but that's just me. I want it to be, I guess, a little more silly and more like Halloween, you know, where there's dancing skeletons. What's that have to. That disturbed me very young. And I would see these dancing skeletons, and I would say, Mom, Mommy, how are they doing that without connective tissue? I didn't get it, see? That I would go, how, what's holding the bones together? And she would say, you know, it's string or gum or whatever it is. I don't know. But in the ones that are animated like that, there's nothing scarier to most people, and I'm going to try it to do it from memory, and I don't know if I can do, and that's Vincent Price, which I've been trying to do. I do a bit of a Vincent Price impression, and you know, he was on Michael Jackson's Thriller, saying, let me try to do the voice. Cold hearted orb that rules the night, that terrorized y'all's neighborhood. Scary spooks and other things. Drop the cheeky god Greg, or something. I don't know. That's the scary. He was so scary in so many things, Vincent Price. And I know he even haunted the Brady Bunch when they were in Hawaii. I don't know what he was doing there. I don't know why they couldn't have gotten a native person to do the haunting. Why had to be? Why Vincent Price? There's so many, I imagine there's so many frightening native Hawaiians. And I don't know if Iz was still alive. That would have been great. And then he breaks out and they go, "Oh, we were all scared of Iz," but then he sings, that's what a haunting, that's right. That melody says to me, what a beautiful world we're all going to die in soon. There's just something wistful about it. Something mono no aware. There's something transient, you know. Sad. There's a sadness. What if that was your reaction to Halloween? You see Halloween decorations, you just tear up. You go, oh, it's kind of a sad, kind of memento mori thing for me. And you're trick-or-treating, and you see it. It's kind of like, why are you crying? You go, I don't know. It's just, I'm thinking about my grandfather's remains. And, I don't know, I miss him, and I wonder about like how much actual flesh is left on the bones, on the skeleton, and the suit. How's that suit holding up? The way we deal with death in this culture. They certainly like Halloween in my neighborhood. Mine is a very strange, and then now that skeletons, as I said, they're getting so large, they just loom over the houses. The houses look like toy houses, and they just look like the skeleton of children frolicking around their little toy village, and it's more sad now. It used to look like skeletons of giants, but now there's so many of them, they look like normal size, and we all are the tiny ones, are their little ant pets that are going to perish. What are some other scary things? So I'm talking about a lot of Day of the Dead things, but as you know, are there any scary things that don't have to do? Well, we like monsters and everything, but monsters are going to kill you. It's not the dying that upsets people. It's the not dying. So it's undead, animated skeletons, things about to kill you, the terror of knowing that there's something chasing you, like a ghost in a sheet. That's the worst when they do something redundant like that. I don't know whether that's meta or why would a ghost get in a sheet like that just because they're being flippant. What about the idea? And I really want to be serious about ghosts. What about the idea of ghosts appearing, wearing things, hats, ghost hats? I mean, does our energy, are we our clothes? You know, where does it end? And since the external things that we see are already dead, for instance.
Well, it's just a perception. See, it's giving out this energy signal thing, and it's you are seeing clothes on a Civil War soldier, but it's just ones and zeros, or I don't know, maybe it's that.
Maybe it's just the perception. It's communicating in a language it knows that I understand. I hope it doesn't customize my fears like that. Oh, but they're subtle. My fears are just, it wouldn't be a monster. It would just be some, like an acquaintance next to me. And me misinterpreting some comment and taking it as an insult because of my self-doubt, you know, and it just reinforcing that. And, oh, how terrifying. I hope that's not it. Oh, are you having a good Halloween? Have a safe one. Listen, they used to put masks on children. When I was young, they were plastic and none of them had eye holes. They said, just use your imagination to see where you're going. Or just look down the nose. They'd put air in it because a lot of kids, but they have to, at least a couple kids have to die first used before they change products back then. I don't know, but it's killing kids. Kids are kid. And we go, well, you know, and they go, okay, I guess those are potential customers. And they change the thing. So we'll take the poison out of it. Or, you know, does it really need broken glass in it? No. And then they would tailor it for the, make it more child friendly. But the masks were weird and scary. And they were all made of asbestos and would catch fire anyway. And it was lovely. I don't even know why they'd put special stuff on them. What else did they, back in the day? And, oh, this is something I don't know if you had to go through. But we had to go through comedians commenting on the unlikelihood of there being drugs and candy. I don't know how many for a while were saying that. And remember when you were a kid and they said there were everyone, just an epidemic, and you wonder if it really happened. I don't remember my mother going through my candy or anything or really caring. She was not convinced, though, that pixie stick was just, that you just eat the sugar out of the tube. And she thought, that can't be. And I go, Ma, I know, they're just like, they don't care anymore. They're just like, pour it into you. And she said, well, okay, well, they know best. And we did that. All those sugary cereals, all of those were endorsed by the church. It was for them. Now, I don't know, but people did, maybe it was a bit of a, kids were raised, say, I'm going to raise my kid, and if it doesn't make it to adulthood, there you go, whatever. No, that's, see how not productive that is? Nowadays, they're thinking, let's just take a little extra care. And we don't need, do we need lawn darts? Probably not, you know? I mean, you say, oh, I feel cheated. But, you know, it's, I don't know. I think it's best to be warned. Wouldn't you like a, I want, again, I've come back to the Jungle Book all the time. Not the actual book, but the movie. And just that, the different types of parenting, the Bagheera versus the Baloo kind of parenting, the overprotective versus the overpermissive. And then there being something just right in the middle, and that is your actual biological parents, which Mowgli is then taken to. And, or does he just marry? Is that it? I don't remember how it ends. I think he just gets married, even though he's like 11 or something. It's a messed up story. I always knew something was wrong with it. For a while, everything, I go, this is Disney, is it? And everything they'd show me as a kid, I thought, this just doesn't, it doesn't feel right to me. You know, just like some, I don't know if you ever, if you're old enough to have ever been like a kid and going into a barbershop in the 60s and just thinking, something doesn't feel right to me. It's that feeling. And I don't know what it is exactly, whether it's going to be. Probably what I'm thinking is maybe there was going to be, I just thwarted a mob hit or something by being there and getting my little fake sideburns cut at six. That could be. I know I didn't know what a bookie was for a long time, but I knew that my grandfather's barber was his. But then I found out years later what that was. Isn't that funny? I tell a bookie. There was nobody to really tell, I don't think. And isn't that interesting, those memories? Who doesn't need a bookie? And I'll take your bets for you. What do you want to bet on? What do you want to bet I won't? I'm all my bets are paradoxes, so I wouldn't take them. Because they are, you know, wait a minute, but if you win, you lose, you win, and your brain explodes. I was doing that, I got hired by Star Trek. And they said, we need you
Because every once in a while, to resolve an episode as a plot thing, we need to short-circuit a computer's logic. And we can't think of anybody more illogical than you. Could you write for us some gags, or I don't know what you guys call them, where, you know, like a paradox or something, where the computer goes, but if you are lying, then I am a shrimp. Or something, I don't know what, you know, but then you are a shrimp.
But I cannot be, that is illogical, I am not pink and curly.
Aren't you? So, stuff like that. I don't know that was one. I don't want to give any away. So I do them wrong when I do them on the air. But if you would hire me to do one, I could do it properly for you. Also, I'd love to do any kind of, if you have a Halloween haunted mansion, when them people are going through them now as we speak, even though it isn't, well, if you're hearing my voice, it is, oh, that's spooky. I'm speaking to you. I am your ghost's voice. If you've ever been to the haunted mansion in either Walt Disney World, Walt Disney Land, Walt Disney Universe, Walt Disney Village. What are the other ones? There's every municipality has a Disney. The Commonwealth of Disney is a goodie. But they all have a version of the Haunted Mansion. And then, as you know now, there are movies explaining to you, how did it get that way? Why are there ghosts there? You know, all these questions that you have about it. What was it? Who were the first people that lived there? Is that them? Are they dead in there? Bless them. What are they doing there? Why did they die on the premises? And so you go to these stuff. Are you curious about that? Because there's a question I get. What kind of mansion has little cars that you drive through the, where people live here, not ambulatory? Because I'm thinking, you know, why have that little train that goes through the whole house? I love it. Don't get me wrong. And I think there's a cemetery inside the house. So it's very crazy. The whole thing is very crazy. And it sort of has the same flavor as Mad Ludwig's Bavarian Castle, where every room is an opera theme. So they're like opera sets. You walk in and you go, this is the waterfall from their Schmuckenflagen. And Wagner's Die Krakenpuppe. And but there, and there it is, the winged golden beast from that. And that is a beautiful concept to me. That whole idea. And I don't know why that can't be done with abandoned malls. Why they can't be turned into a sort of Mad Ludwig set. Walk into them, they're a magical world. We know we have the technology. There's restaurants that are like that. Have you been to... can't think of any of them, but there was for a while a theme you'd walk in and go, it's a jungle with dinosaurs in it, Jurassic Diner, I don't know, now I'm mad. So they would have all sorts of themes though like that, and so you can just make it into a movie set. I don't know, I think that's a good idea. I used to love themes like that when I was a child. I loved any kind of whimsical thing or a fantasy. I'm meeting on a you know, military ship or something. That's kind of a little bit of a messed up fantasy. That you don't want that one, maybe. Why not? Well, I don't know. That's why bother. Well, there's something more like, and all, but the ones that don't make any sense to me is Swiss Family Robinson, necessarily, because that's kind of a scary conditions there where they're. It's like a darker, is it a darker Gilligan's Island? In a way it is, because there's animal abuse. And I don't remember any of that in Gilligan's Island. They weren't riding ostriches. But this is all this with a Swiss. I don't want to generalize. But it's funny, you know, it's like, oh, this is our tree or something. Okay, well, I guess it is now. Bless you. It's neutral, though. Neutral tree. Well, we weren't going to do anything to it anyway. We don't want your tree. They don't want to leave the island. Have you ever gotten stranded somewhere you don't want to leave? That's what I feel like about this haunted mansion. Have you noticed there's no ghosts?
Ooh, here's a scary, I'll give you some scary stories. And every one of them is a dream I've had. And yes, they're terrifying. Because in dreams, you're not quite sure whether it's real. You're not quite sure whether you're in danger. You're not quite sure whether your disgust is based on something that is tangible, that you'll be able to smell the rot. And so I found myself wondering, where am I? This looks like a college campus, but it also looks like a cemetery. And as I wend my way through the paths of this pseudo-cemetery, I notice that each plot contains an exhibit of sorts, a glass case. And inside is a sort of diorama or a tableau. It is a scene recreated with the corpse of the deceased posed, just the way it was in life. Not dissected, but preserved, in clothes, posed, sitting in a chair, enjoying a pipe, ironing, cooking, engaged in all sorts of normal behavior. Some of the older ones are less inventive and simply lie there in a bed in a constant state of repose, eternal sleep. But it is but a shell. Nothing remains. And the sadness of watching the lifeless meat posed in a posture that demonstrates the hopes, the yearnings, the goals, the aspirations, the identity, the importance of that little life, that little unique life gone now and represented only by the ever-diminishing lips that expose the eternal grin of the bare skull teeth. And then I woke up in a terror. I woke up screaming because I saw family. And I was like, no, like that. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that silly? I had another dream that was sort of similar. And I was in a barn, and in the barn I had been told that there were religious monks. Maybe they were from some mysterious Eastern religion or something. I don't remember exactly, but I knew they were monks and people devoted to an extreme religious life of deprivation and concentration and discipline in order to achieve enlightenment. And to this, whatever it was, retreat, monastery, had come some very wealthy people from the West who wished to undergo a sort of ritual, one last final ritual, a fatal ritual, in which they would ensure their own enlightenment through a transcendent transformation. They would be decapitated and attached to their own feet, simply a head and feet, and the feet contained by a bag, and the voiceless heads would shuffle along in the bags, their faces grimaced in terror as they realize what's happened to them in their final moments, overcome with horror. They have made this decision, a terrible one, to go into eternity in a state of abject horror, discontent, alienation, emptiness.
And then, when I woke up, I started making papier-mâché versions of these heads for a couple of years just to sort of work through it. Now, what was I thinking about? You wonder. Probably, I don't know if it's a movie I'd seen or something I'd eaten. Now, Charles Dickens speculated in A Christmas Carol that it was possible to eat a certain kind, I don't know whether it was potatoes or something, that would make you hallucinate ghosts, but then they would give you this sort of like morally significant, your hallucination would be instructive, would be ethically instructive, which is, that's never happened before. And we have been trying to get this Dickens Christmas Carol recipe so that I can see the ghost of Christmas past, present, future, and my ex-business partner, Marley. And they all come to me and they point out my selfishness. And I don't get completely selfless or anything, but it adjusts that for me, makes me a kinder, more compassionate person. And I'm for that. But that requires me falling asleep and having night terrors. But I can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. I just wonder about the recipe. And I don't want to poison myself. I don't know whether you use the potatoes that are starting to turn green or just cut off the little sprouts. Oh, that seems wrong and poison. There's lots of things they'll tell you. Like, oh, there's stuff in your yard that you can actually eat if you cook it. If you don't cook it, you die. And I go, oh, well, that's a big if. Because I always wonder because I tend to undercook things sometimes because I'm impatient. And if oatmeal was like that, I'd be dead. Already go, man, I undercooked that oatmeal. I came up on green beans that had been cooked into oblivion. That if you touched them, they were like a sandcastle or something. Where'd it go? And, because all the cells' connective tissue had been dissolved, and it was almost like there wasn't the actual green bean wasn't there anymore. It's like one of the Pompeii survivors. This is just the space that it was in. What's that stuff around it? Bacon grease. So then when I started making green beans, I started undercooking them. And then, you know, these little half-chewed fiber boluses going through my system, that's not right either. There must be a happy medium for those kind of beans. And I wish you the best finding it. I don't know what they call it, your bean texture that you like, your green bean texture. Not regular bean beans, but Aricart Vert. Aricart Vert? Is that how you say it? Aricart Vert? Aricart Vert? Aricart Vert? Aircore something? Now I'm confused. I have this problem. I'm glad I don't. If I had a script, it'd be really very problematic. Because I would say words, and if I did it more than once, I'd go, I don't think that doesn't sound right now. Because I don't know, my brain has become stuck on all words sound silly and wrong right now. I guess I've just said so many of them, I'm tired of them. It's like if it's possible to be married 175 years to somebody. That's how I feel about the English language, or any language. Go to the camp. I know I don't have anything to say. Now I'm just making myself upset. Why am I talking so much? I'm not going to figure anything out. Well, you're on the radio. You got to, I know, my goodness. I'll tell you what, I don't mind, though. I don't mind. If I was at one of those fairs or something, say I'm at the carnival, and I feel like I'm just drawing too many caricatures. Well, you're at the caricature booth. And somebody has to do it and draw it. But why? It's just part of it. Shut up. I love it. We all need everything. And this is a part. And one of the traditions of radio. I'm never going to sell myself short. And this is why. Let me tell you why. Why? Let me tell you why. Because a lot of times things will tend towards things that have succeeded. You know. Let's say there's a movie called The Elegant Green Cowboy.
Now you're going to get, say, oh yeah, that we did so well. Let's have another cowboy movie. And maybe that doesn't do so well. And they think, well, maybe it wasn't the cowboy part. You know, was it the green part? And they start looking for that and everything like that. And they're always looking for what was the element that made it great. And so it'll evolve and it'll never be the elegant green cowboy again. Because they're trying to duplicate the success. And so all the things that have succeeded on radio are taken apart. They're disassembled. And their best elements are culled. And they're put in something new. And so you don't have the crazy, wacky solutions to imaginary problems that you did in the earlier days of this, whatever it is, thing. Because that's the thing with radio. You literally do have something. I mean, people say, oh, there's people that have the dead air and everything. Yeah, ha ha, very funny. But it literally is the point to have some sort of sound going on. So sound is content. The content has to keep coming. And there are different, I don't have to tell you this.
Well, don't then.
Well, I won't.
Then don't.
There's different types of art and looking, and there's different types of listening. So there's seeing something tight, like a movie or you know, TV show, and they show you every shot. Then there's like your dad and decades ago maybe aiming the video camera out of the car window and just getting everything that goes by. That's valid too. That's totally worth watching. All these things are content for a magic little box that has pictures on it, or a magic screen. And so we have these speakers and stuff coming out of them, and everything that comes out is magical, and we need something to come out of them. Just like you need something in a claw machine. You know, it doesn't really matter what it is. Oh, bless you, you're going to go for it. Come on, claw my fuzzy head. Grab me. Have those pincers snag my temples. Pull me up. Throw me down the chute so I can come visit with you. Oh, bless you. I wish you could do that with little creatures. Little mummified tiny creatures from the past or something might come out and grab one at the fair, bring it home. Say, these little leprechauns are real. And here they used to live thousands of years ago. A real, actual species of humanoid. And here's one of them. And you know, I'm going to reanimate him from these mummified remains and bring back this little... He's not even speaking. That's not Irish. Because we don't even know what they spoke. Bless them. Because there are a lot of them were like... what's the one that... I'm going to think of its name. Homo floresiensis. Is that it? The hobbit people? They weren't really proper hobbits. They might have been, but if they drank a sort of Indonesian beer because they were at the other side of the globe from the hobbits that fought in World War II against Sauron. So those are different people altogether. And I don't know if they both lived in holes in the ground, which is just about the worst place you could live. If it's a nice cave, that's fine. If you're just living in a dirt mound, that's odd. And the chances are that there's going to be a golf course built right over your house is fairly certain. And you don't want that. My gosh. Even the kind that don't have carts where you have to walk them. I've been to the really old kind where you have to hop on one leg the whole time. There's not even walking. No carts, no path, no grass, no clubs, nothing. Just you and the golf course, in quotes. That's what I call hiking. It's just more of like a zen golfing. Why would I keep score? Keep score what? Who am I competing with? And then the people who cheat. Can you imagine that cheating at something like, I cheated hiking.
Well, who's really being cheated?
No one and everyone. Isn't that something? So I mainly do things for their own sake. And yours.
Anyway,
and yours. Of course, I love you. You know, we all want friends and companionship. I'm finding out very short life. I think. It seems long. It's long if you've done things with it. I was just under the impression I had a lot of time. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. I guess I had seen... See, this is where stuff like Doctor Who and everything shouldn't be shown to children. But, so I'll do it next lifetime or whatever like that. Just, I'm going to go back to school. I have friends like that going back to school now on some sort of geriatric, scholarship. And they're getting some money off on their tuition if they promise not to be in the workforce very long, which is easy. Say, I promise not to take up a very job. Like, maybe I'll work for 5 years and collapse. But, okay, we'll help you out then. And they'll give you some money to go back to school or whatever if you promise to radically change your profession or whatever you did. Or maybe you never had one. So I never really got started, you know. Yeah, I would dabble in stuff. Like, for a while, I was a medical doctor and then blah, 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 lawyer. But, you know, I never really stuck to any one thing. And then you go back and get in art history or something that you can really do something for you. And there you go. And you find your way later in life. Or maybe you don't ever find it. And it's like disappearing into a house of mirrors or a labyrinth or a fun house of mirrors or a fun labyrinth or the mirrored kind of labyrinth, which is lovely. And this kind of house of mirrors with the walls are clear. Some of them are mirrors. Some of them are clear mirrors. The kind that are rough are those clear kind but everybody in there has to look alike. And so you just go in there. Most people just book it with their first cousins or whatever thing. And then they all put on their family reunion shirt. They're indistinguishable. They go in and, is that me or is that my cousin? Or it's a blast. That's why I like fairs and things. They're disorienting. They're scary that way. You know? I don't know if you've ever had a headless pet come back to life. But it's like that. Kind of like, oh, I'm not expecting it. And it's terrifying because it's, you know. Oh, ghost. Paul Frees did that, I think, the ghost host part. The narrator in Haunted Mansion. I am your ghost host, that guy. And did so many voices. The Beatles cartoon. He did two of the Beatles. The other two are voiced by a British guy whose name, thank God, escapes me. But wow, what a interesting face he had. His name will come to me. I hope it doesn't, though, because he did. Well, I'm just going to skip talking. Oh, you're going to leave us like that? Well, you're not going to mention the person or the reason that you're not saying their name. Just look up the other guy who isn't Paul Frees, who did the Beatles voices. We have Google. And then you can read all about him, and I don't have to say anything. Bless you. Oh, bless all of us. We are all sliding slowly into a dark pit with scary things in it, alligators, wherever there's darkness, sliding into a dark pit where we'll be consumed by these things in the netherworld. All the slimy things lived on, and so did I. I am the Ancient Mariner. Look out my left thigh. There's something on it. What is that? Should I get that looked at? I've got this big old scar right here. Look, I'll take off my hat. I took my hat off, and under there lurked a scary sight. My skull is all exposed, you see. Chalky and all white. I was a walking skullhead upon that pirate deck. And so did I. I remember all of it. A skeleton in armor. That Longfellow poem I enjoyed as a child, because I always thought about that. I go, skeleton in armor. What's a skeleton need armor for? And then I thought, well, because it doesn't have its skin or anything. It's vulnerable. But it probably is the soldier who died. My goodness. Did they put it on him after he died, or did the armor not work very well, or how's that work? Because that says a lot about the armor right there. And just look at it, you know, which part of the armor failed. But then, you know, it's that survival bias or something with the airplanes that get shot at.
You're really not sure why individual skeletons in armor survive. Are they there in your imagination? What spooky things lurk? You can tell, you know, what am I haunted by if you go to one of these pop-up Halloween stores? Go look at, there's one there, what used to be the CPAP Supermall. That's a thing? I don't know. A friend had, we were traveling together, and a friend was missing a part for his CPAP machine, which stands for, it's an onomatopoeia. I don't know if it stands for anything. It's the noise they make. And they help you breathe if you've got sleep apnea. And we went into, like, I think it was a CPAP superstore. And I could say, I was thinking, this at Halloween, they should just make this a Halloween superstore. And I think they did. No, it was too small for that. But it could be a boutique one. I wouldn't mind a tiny Halloween store that didn't have everything. Doesn't have to have everything. There was ones, those costume shops. Remember those? It was like a magic and costume shop that were there year round, and the costumes are high end. I don't know if you're trying to pretend to be somebody like, I mean, back in the day, a lot of people I knew were jewel thieves. And if you got to go to a party or something like that, you know, I need something that makes me look like, or one of the classic costumes, because it's a ball, right? For instance. And there's going to be jewel thieving. And they sell magic tricks and whole acts and everything, even disappearing cabinets if you're inclined. And they begrudgingly on Halloween acknowledge that this is like amateur night, and that people that don't normally dress up all the time are going to dress up. And so they'll rent their costumes, usually the more, you know, I don't know what kind you, who do you want to be, some 7th, 18th century guy or something, let's say, with your tri-cornered hat. And I'm going to be Barry Lyndon. So they'd sell you like a good-looking Barry Lyndon thing, not like the kind at the supermarket where it's just a plastic Barry Lyndon face. Go, well, that's just this. Can you even breathe in there?
But I look like Barry Lyndon.
You look different than you do.
But I look like Barry Lyndon.
Well, it's not a real hat. It's just the plastic hat attached to the mask. Okay, let me try this one on. It's a...
I'm Alex from Clover Village.
No, stop trying the Kubrick masks on. And maybe you'd be all right. There's themes from everything you can be. People get very clever. You go, oh, what? It's so tedious. I love it. I'm sorry. I'm not putting it back. But those costumes where you go, what do you think I am? And you go, I don't know, man. I don't have a television or that kind of thing. It's like, I don't. Do you know YouTube? You go, no, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what you are. But there's lots of that, you know. You go to a costume party, and I can't say best costume. I don't know what any of this is. There's nobody Frankenstein. Is that out? But can't be just be. It should be just. I don't know. We sometimes have too many choices, I think. And if you got a unique costume like that. That absolutely messes up a lot of potential Columbo plots. Because there's always like, you know, which Barry Lyndon or whatever, you know, which Dracula. There were two Draculas there that night. Who was that second Dracula? Well, that I don't know if there's going to be two Hawktua girls or something like that. Women, I don't know. Right? I don't know. So, then you can't, how are you going to do that kind of level of subterfuge where the costume within the con, like, oh, it's so great. That's one of the great things about Halloween is that you can pull scams because that's a one time of the year. You can dress up like somebody else. And now they have the masks are so realistic that people think that political figures aren't even themselves. You go, oh, you know, I can tell that's not really King Charles. Why? Because look, he's a foot too tall. That guy is 7'5". It's like, that's so weird. They couldn't find anybody his size to wear the special mask. Yeah, well, only the guy who owns it can wear it. Oh, okay. But it looks just like him. And then there's a guy that's too short that has one. But you can always tell because they're never the same height or something when they have that mask on. Oh, I knew that was going to happen because of Mission Impossible, the original TV show.
there was a guy on there, and his name is Martin. And he played a character named Roland Hand. It's like, don't be careful. This is my Roland Hand. And he would often, on his secret things, Martin Landau, would put his mask on, and he would suddenly look like, I don't know, Nehemiah Persoff, until he'd peel it off, and then he'd be back to being Martin Landau. And they were uncanny, and nobody could tell. And he didn't, it wasn't like, I'm sorry, I don't hear you, Nehemiah Persoff.
Yeah, give me the box of jewels.
Okay, what? But it wasn't like that, you know, it was just super realistic. And so I was thinking, when I was a kid, I would think, that's just down the pike. We would say down the pike instead of highway or whatever. So that's just coming down the pike. And there it is, right down the pike. There was a pike, they set the pike up. And then they're riding it down there at pike speeds, at pikeway speeds. We still have pikes here. I'm going to say that enough times that it's meaningless. And, you know, say, oh, that's so-and-so pike. And you probably have that up there. You have it. We have the turn one. Yeah, a lot of people have the turn pike. But we have a ironworks pike or something like that, too. All sorts of... We just pike it on to, I think it meant highway, or I'm not even sure. And, but it also means like a stick, I think. You know, put your head on a pike, could be. And I don't know if they're homonyms or the roads used to be lined instead of with streetlights with heads on sticks, which would be lovely. I'd like to see that for Halloween now. You know how a lot of towns go crazy with, Christmas decorations, you know, so you go downtown and all the garlands and beautiful things are hanging from the street lamps. But it'd be nice if they had like fake, horrible heads spitted upon pikes, all lining, just like it was like, uh-oh, you know, Vlad the Impaler's back in town and he's serious about not wanting people to panhandle or something. So there's all these heads everywhere. Just for Halloween, you know, to get into the spirit of it. And things like that. Enjoy those kind of parties. They don't have these, but they used to, you'd go to a church or something, and for the kids at Halloween, they'd go in this room, stick your hand in this bowl. It's a bunch of eyeballs. It'd really be grapes. They'd sit there all night peeling grapes so that they would feel like a bowl of eyeballs. Now, why you'd have a bowl of eyeballs just sitting around, I don't know. I would stick my hand in and go, did somebody take one? Because this is an odd amount. You say, no, I don't know. But I knew they weren't. And then also, you stick your hand in spaghetti. You go, this is guts. And they go, this is the slenderest colon. Guts out of what? I would say it's heartworms. And it's just spaghetti. But she goes, it's the dog's heartworms. It's one long heartworm. Why does it? But it smells like pasta a little bit. What else did they have in bowls? What are the creepy food that you put your hand in? You think, liver. Put your hand on in liver, and you go, oh, that's really marshmallow whip or something like that. You go, ooh, I don't know, things like that. But we used to do things like that. All these recipes, they'd have goose, the witch's brew or something, and you put, make it steam by mixing baking soda and vinegar. And dry ice, and I don't know, some very mild explosive. You do that. Then there was, you'd make fake poo to eat, which is gross, right? You could make it out of, we made ours out of dog poo, but you can make it out of Tootsie Rolls or fudge or everything like that. It depends on how authentic you want it to be. No, we wouldn't make it out of real dog poop, but we would put in truffle oil, which gives it that, like, what is this? It's kind of earthy. And that also chestnut paste, which will trigger the gag reflex.
And now I never, I was fine on that Chestnuts Roasted on the Open Fire song until I had tried one. And then they, you know, they might have
rancid testicle on an open fire
or something like that. It might as well be. Because that's the, now I can't listen to it. And I go, it's a repulsive, I don't know whether it's a nut or a vegetable, or I don't even know what it is. I don't know, where does it grow?
Somewhere it grow like behind in a bathroom behind the wallpaper will get damp or something
like that, maybe. I don't know,
on a tree, a chestnut tree, you idiot.
Oh, that's right, under the spreading chestnut tree the village smithy stands, repeatedly gagging from thinking about these. I mean, I guess when they just fall on the, and they're a beautiful color. Chestnut is a nice color. It's the color of boring people's hair, isn't it? But hey, I don't have any hair. They I don't even know why I said that. Bless you, there's no boring people. That's dumb. Yes, there are. There's no A. Everybody's boring sometimes and interesting sometimes.
You're boring all the time, Hardy.
Don't get mad. I'm sorry. I love you. I was wrong. That was stupid.
All right, you're not boring.
Isn't that funny how we can change our opinion like that based on whether somebody is an ally or not? Well, it's hard to like people that don't like us. I'm not going to lie. I have a difficult time. I go too far the other way. I tend to like people who like me, which is not a great indicator. That's why I'm really very easy to sell things to, because of that. This guy seems to really like me. He's got to give me a deal. I'm that guy from the... I wonder where in... Oh, bless. I feel like I come from a whole village of people that don't think people lie when they're selling you something. And and then there's whole places where, of course they are. Why are you so stupid?
Oh, I don't know.
I stayed naive. I still like to be default. I act naive to give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, I want to think the best of people. Because it's in there a lot of times. It's just buried under corpses. And, you know. Good gosh, it's hard to be a human being. And we are all just floundering. And it's a living horror. And it's Halloween all the time, isn't it, in a way? And here we are in the season of death, but we're going to say something positive. What is it? Well, we're not dead right now, which is exciting. And while we're alive, we can eat a little bit of candy. And yes, you can have a little bit of candy as a treat. Do not give chocolate to dogs. I have enjoyed being with you today so much, and I hope I didn't scare you too much.
You were gross at talking about human remains and everything.
I literally thought that's what Halloween was about. If I am wrong, I am sorry. I know that when, this is the dumb thing, I think that, you know,
alert, it's Halloween and aliens are landing right now in New Jersey. I've just gotten this word from Ken. This is Hardy White saying, everybody, the aliens have just landed, and it's Halloween.
I don't know why Orson Welles thought that, like, science fiction was part of Halloween.
Well, people, you know, they won't believe it because it's Halloween, and everyone jokes about science fiction matters and speculative science when it's Halloween, All Hallows Eve, don't they?
No, they don't. They talk about mummies and stuff like that. That's where you went wrong, goofball. I love you anyway. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and in New York City, and online, WFMU.org, worldwide freeform radio, the way you hear it on the radio as well as online and all that kind of thing. Oh, my goodness, it's the fun October Hellraiser, where you make we count on you to fund us here at WFMU, and we love you so much out here asking just for a little help at the October fundraiser, which I think is the 31st, so it's still October. I'm not going to get fired for saying this, and bless you, you've been so generous so far. Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Barney. Shout out to Betty in Brooklyn, Wilma in Kearney. And just thank you so much, all of you. Bless you, and I'll see you again next week.
Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins' name was Ebony.
In its sidecar. Donate today. October is come. Breezing like a Harley D down the spiraling thoroughfare we call time. The Hellraiser in its sidecar. Palms outstretched in the crisp autumn air, careening into the ever earlier sunset. Please donate today. https://wfmu.org. Enter. https://wfmu.org into your browser's query field. That's correct. A listener just like yourself can use an internet just like your own to sustain this 24-hour transmission. Please donate today. https://wfmu.org. One half scroll downward, click the words pledge now. From there I will leave it to the spirit to guide you. Dearest listener, my dear generous intelligent listener, October is come. October is come. The Hellraiser in its sidecar. Donate today. October is come. Breezing like a Harley D down that spiraling thoroughfare we call time. The Hellraiser in its sidecar. Palms outstretched in the crisp autumn air, careening into the ever earlier sunset. Please donate today. https://wfmu.org. Enter. https://wfmu.org. Into your browser's query field.
You ain't never met a playboy like me. I lick you from head to toe. First thing in the morning, before you know. Girl, you be shaking at the knees. I know my legs off the keys. You better believe it, shorty. You can say I'm like a drug, cause that thing is getting my love. Girl, I bet you be fiending. I handle things. Recognize I'm that man. I know you ain't never met a playboy like me. I know cause you fuss a lot. And with me just smiling, yeah, my love don't play.
for your spy. If you don't got one, well, that's okay, oh girl, cause I give you one.
You better tell us, smoke, yeah.
Oh, wait till I do you, baby. You see, even if I ain't your type, I know I'm gonna get you right. You better believe it, shorty, yeah.
Now.